Chapter 1. The Bell of San Pietro. The first time Marco heard the bell, he thought it was just the church calling people to Vespers. It was late summer in that little hill town where the road dips like a tired sentence and the houses hold their breath at night. San Pietro sits on a ridge of stone, and everyone there knows the bell at the top of the old campanile has a way of sounding different when fog rolls in from the valley. They also know, in the sort of way that doesn't need saying, that some sounds bring more than memory with them. Marco had grown up under that bell. As a kid, he raced his bike down the piazza and dared his friends to touch the crumbling saints carved into the church wall. As a man, he came back to look after his mother, who kept a jar of olives and a list of neighbors' illnesses on the kitchen table. He didn't expect the bell to change his life. Nobody does until it does. On the morning it happened, the bell tolled at noon, a single slow note that seemed to hang in the air like a promise. It wasn't the bell's fault, people later said. Bells ring and doors open. But the silence that followed it was strange, thick, like wool over the world. After that noon, things in San Pietro became quieter than they had any right to be. The dogs stopped barking or barked and then faded out as if swallowed. The bakery's oven seemed to forget how to heat. People went about their days but kept their voices low, automatically, like men lowering their heads to avoid a sudden rain. Marco noticed small things first. A neighbor's cat prowling the roofs at night, its eyes reflecting light the way coins do. A street lamp burning blue instead of orange for a single hour. An old woman at the market who, when he passed, held a crust of bread to her chest and whispered, "Not yet," as if she were answering someone behind a door that hadn't opened in years. On the third night after the bell, a child disappeared. Little Anna had been playing by the well, chasing cicadas and asking adults to tell her stories they were trying to forget. She vanished between the stone steps and the shadow of the cypress without a sound. The search parties found footprints that led to the old olive grove and then ended at the base of a stone wall, where moss grew like soft green hair. No one found Anna. Her mother sat on the steps of the church and pressed her lips together until they were white. People started to talk about the bell. They said it had been cracked by lightning back when someone still remembered the war. They said an old priest with a limp had once rung it at midnight and that he had been found standing at the edge of a cliff the next day, staring down into nothing. Marco listened to these stories the way you listen to weather reports, concerned but not convinced. He liked to think the town's fears were more contagious than any curse, that once one person began to look for danger, everyone else did too, and suddenly the town was full of it. It didn't help that the bell seemed to answer questions. When words were spoken near the church, words like why and who and how long, the bell chimed back in a slow, clarifying way, as if it had heard enough to start to understand. Not everyone heard that reply. Only some people did. Those who'd stayed in San Pietro their whole lives, some who were passing through with heavy things in their pockets, and those who had lost someone and had the habit of listening for them in the small hours. Marco heard it too. The first time, it made his scalp prickle. The second time, he thought his ears were tired. By the third, he had to admit that the bell was saying something, and he didn't know whether it was a name or a warning. Father Giacomo, who had the sad smile of a man who has been told everything and must still wait, tried to keep calm. He wrote in the parish notebook more than people used to see, notes on weddings, notes on who'd given money for bread, and then in the margin a single line, "No good weather for the world," before he crossed it out. He suggested prayers. He stood beneath the tub bell and listened with a face like stone. Old Marta, who sold herbs at the market and could make bruise marks fade with poultices, refused to speak of it. "The bell is an old thing," she said, "and old things have their reasons." Her hands trembled whenever she folded things up for customers, like she was closing tiny books that had too many pages. People tried practical things. They wrapped the bell in cloth to deaden its voice. They nailed planks over the belfry windows, as if keeping the wind out would keep whatever was in from moving. But the silence remained heavier than before, and some nights the sound of someone walking through the piazza would echo inside a shop, though there was no one there. Marco started spending nights in the